Okay, everyone. New week, new sefer Dvarim, new chodesh tov, everyone. It's almost like a person feels sort of like contradicted again. Mitzad echad, obviously, you give the greeting of good and chodesh tov. We wish everyone that they should have a good, successful, productive month. But mitzad sheni, we know that this month is not a simple month, right? Mar says, "Mishenichnas other marv b'simcha, mishenichnas of mimatin b'simcha." Right? There's a certain amount of the tone and the mood, at least for the next nine days, definitely is more of a sad tone, more of a tone of somber. V'chulei. Though on a positive note, though, Baruch Hashem, I was mentioning in the previous weeks that I suffered a leg injury, an ankle injury. Baruch Hashem, it's been my leg is feeling, my ankle's feeling a lot better. I'm still I'm limping in a boot. I went to physical therapy yesterday and was able to start that process. So Baruch Hashem, your tefillos are helping, and please continue to daven for me. Have in mind your tefillos, Akiva ben Chanarachu. Okay, Sefer Dvar. New parsha, new sefer. A lot of things going on here. So the first idea we're going to speak about, let's get right to it in the beginning of the parsha. Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph. The Pasuk says, Eila Dvar Masher Diber Moshe El Kol Yisrael Be'Evar Yardin Bamidbar Barava Mul Suf Bein Paranu Bein Tofel Ve'Lavan Chatzeres V'Dizav. Right, these are the words that Moshe spoke to the Klal Yisrael, right, on the other side of the Yardin. Facing all of those cities that were mentioned. The Kliyakar is Medayik, and he says that actually, if you look closely, the pasuk says, Eila Dvar Masher Dibra Moshe El Kol Yisrael. This is the first time the Kliyakar says that the Torah mentions Kol Yisrael as opposed to Bnei Yisrael, that Klal Yisrael is being referred to as Kol Yisrael as a whole, as all of Israel, and not just the Bnei Yisrael, not just the sons of Israel. So what exactly is Pshat? I mean, A, does this have any significance, and B, why now? So one can answer. I think he says Kipshuto, the Kliyakar is that before they were just sons of Israel. Right, the immediate generations of Yaakov, and now they're growing and expanding. So now they're not just banim, rather they're a klal, they're an am, they're a nation. But I want to deepen this point slightly. One can say that up until now, they were up until this stage they were only connected to the forefathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, obviously, right? Each yid, every Jew on Klal Yisrael at that time was connected to, you know, it was much more Mesorah oriented. It was figuring, you know, whose shevet were you in, and eventually the chain ended up leading back to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But again, it was much more separate. That's why again, the Bnei Yisrael, lavdafka there was any connection. It's almost like you hear these stories of like cults in certain places, right? There's like there's one father. He has many wives and many children. So it's like these are all the children of this one person. But lavdafka there's any kesher between them. But what happened now is at this stage in the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, where we say Kol Yisrael as opposed to Bnei Yisrael, now it's almost like there's a new kiyum that's going on here. Now what's going on is that not only up until now they're just connected to the forefathers, to their forefathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the Avos. But now the pshat is they're an Am Echad. They're not just Bnei Yisrael, they're Am Yisrael. They're a nation that is now unified as one. Why? Because again, this is the preparation for them to go into Eretz Yisrael. Again, this is the land of Israel. It's not the land of Bnei Yisrael. So at this moment, there was a new kingdom that they were all going to come together. They were going to be one nation to enter as a whole. And there was also another kiyum that again up until now they were just it was almost like it was just something of like uh the partnership that all the other Shvatim had was, again, they were clinging on something from the past, right? Something, again, right? Right. If you were from Shevet Naphtali, one was from Shevet Naphtali, the other one was from Shevet Reuven, you had a connection. Why? Because, I mean, you're sort of connected. There's something of a partnership because your ancestors, Reuven and Naphtali, happened to have been brothers. There was a certain partnership that was connected for that was grabbed on from the past. But now, not it's not only from the past, right? There's being that they're not Bnei Yisrael anymore. The fact that they're Klal Yisrael, rather what's going on, there's a certain shutfus, there's a certain joint partnership that Bnei Yisrael is coming as one. It's not something that's clinging to the past. Rather, it is a preparation for the future. Rather, it's an agreement and a joining of forces for the future. And another new kiyum is that again, they began to realize that if they want to be able to continue and succeed and be a strong nation, they need to start taking achrayas. They need to start taking responsibility, and they need to strengthen themselves in the midah of arvus. Right, we speak of kol Yisrael arevim zebazet. It's not the Bnei Yisrael arevim zebazet. Right, the pshat is this concept of arvus, this concept of each yid protecting another yid and serving as a guarantor for him. The pshat is that can only come into fruition through the idea of achdus, through the idea of love, the idea of ava that the one Jew has for another, and it doesn't matter again what his previous lineage was or his previous background was. So in Yoni Dioma, right? So this is very applicable in terms of what's going on right now during the 9 days. This week we know is Shabbos Chazon, right? The Shabbos before Tisha B'Av is Shabbos Chazon. The Shabbos after Tisha B'Av, that's next week, Parshas Veschanan, that is called Shabbos Nachum, referring to the Haftorahs that are read on those respective Shabbos. So Shabbos Chazon, right? We're getting into a certain mode, right? We're building up in terms of the stages of Avelus, right? We started the 3 weeks. We're right now in the middle of the 3 weeks, but we just recently took it up a notch to the 9 days as we get closer with the Shavuos Chalbo, and we're getting closer and closer to eventually the saddest day of the year, Tisha B'Av. It's a time to reflect. It's a time for self introspection. That hey, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash right now. Why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Because of what? Sinas Chinam. And what's the pshat? It comes out in Sefer Devarim that we're supposed to. The idea we're supposed to take was to take away from this pasuk and from this idea of Kol Yisrael's out there that they were mischazik and avas chinam. And this is the specific tkufa in which we need to work on that. Every year, the years go by in which we just mourn. We mourn over the Beis HaMikdash. We always try to hope. We have a lot of sense of, we have a lot of hope. That we always say this should be the last Tisha B'Av, because next year we want Mashiach to come and build Beis HaMikdash. But do we really want that? If we really wanted that, we need to start working on the Avas Chinam. We have to stop with the Sinas Chinam. I've seen throughout the years as the Jews argue with each other. Jews have been holding grudges against each other. Jews hating each other for dumb reasons, for very ignorant reasons. They don't realize if they would just put the nonsense to the side and try to find the good in one another. How much of an impact could that have? In order to help this world receive the Beis HaMikdash again. Just a small ha'arah, that's the yisod in terms of why it's called Klal Yisrael. Klal comes from the lashon of Kolel. Kolel means it's to include. Being a real yid and being part of Klal Yisrael means that Klal Yisrael, we are all inclusive. Doesn't matter if you're a yid, you're a yid. If you're a Jew, you're a Jew. Doesn't matter whether how frum you are, or whether you're Ashkenaz, Sfar, Hasidish, Lubavitch, it doesn't matter. A yid is a yid, and that's the yisod of Avas Chinam. It doesn't. You're supposed to love another Jew no matter who he is. Why? Just because he's a Jew. His identity. That's what you're supposed to love. He's a Tzelem Elokim. And that's such a yesod moving forward, especially during this during the next couple days. So ad kan idea number one. Idea number two, also Perek Aleph, a little bit later on in the second Aliyah, Perek Aleph Pasuk Yed Zayin. The Pasuk says as follows. We're speaking about the sugya of the appointment of judges. The Pasuk says, Losakiru parim ba mishpat kakaton gagadol tishmon losaguru mipnei ish ki amishpat alokemu vadavar shar yeksha mikem takrivun elai v'shamativ. Pasuk says you shouldn't show any favoritism in judgment, whether it be small, big, it doesn't matter. And also you shouldn't be afraid, you shouldn't fear, you should be afraid of any plaintiff or defendant or any of the litigants. Why? Because Din is because this is the judge because this type of judgment it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's and if it's too difficult it should be raised to the higher authorities if there are any issues in terms of judging, right? This is the yesod in terms of the sugya of we're expanding right now and appointing judges to help lead Klal Yisrael. So, on this pasuk, the Taz actually comments that it's that not only is it on the line of lo saguru, right? You shouldn't be afraid. Says the Taz, not only is it usher to be afraid of any other litigants. There's also another isser. It's usher for a judge to abandon. It's usher for a judge to abandon any case. Because he's afraid of something. If there's other biases that are sort of threatening him, he has to understand that he is an ambassador of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the only yira he's supposed to be having is the yira klapei shamayim, right? There's an inyan of yira shamayim, but if a person is really shem shamayim, he shouldn't back down to any challenge. If he's a representative of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should have no fear. The Ramban al Torah notes that any type of perversion or any type of bending of the rules and acting crooked in Dionysus is a complete sin. It's totally us. Or why? Because that's the pshat and the pasuk of later on, where it says ki hamishpat lelokim, right? The system of judgment and the yesod of mishpat is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a certain way of doing it. So the Dayanim are supposed to do the judgment in the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would want it. Just to deepen this even more, the Sifri notes that it's usher to even be afraid when we say lo sagura, it's also to even be afraid of any of the litigants, even if he's threatening to attack you, whether it be physically harm you or financially harm you, it's still a major isser to back down and to be influenced by these threats. And what exactly is pshat? Right, this is not so simple. Meaning, if someone's physically going to harm you and your life might be at risk, still says the Sifri, you still shouldn't be afraid. You still have to judge as fair as you can. So, Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal, the former Sheva Torah Vadas, explains that this is very, very serious. This is something serious and very chamor. Why? Because if you botch Dayanus, this is very, very close to Chil Hashem. We're talking about Chil Hashem territory. This is not so simple. This is not an average sin. We're talking about Dayanus. We're speaking about people that are upholding. They're supposed to be upholding the Torah. The Rambam writes to be a dying. You have to have so many different. You have to have exceptionally the quality of your character traits need to be on an exceptional level. Being a dying is not for normal. It's not for your average day ploni. It's for the elite, and it has to be those people that are willing to prevent Chil Hashem. So therefore, they have to put themselves out there, right? And this is and just the yisod. This is the yisod is applying to us, anyone, right? I mean, first of all, for any judge, that's the yisod that you have to whatever you can, you have to do in order to prevent the chilul Hashem. Sometimes even if it means you have to ignore your own personal considerations, whether it be financially or even physically, you have to put that to the side. You have to expand yourself and be to really be Eved Hashem. Is sometimes to put your own considerations to the side and in order to prevent chilul Hashem. And so for us to apply this by us, this is really also the yisod of life. That really that again, any Jew shouldn't be afraid of what society has to say. Rather, what he should be afraid only of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He should be afraid of chilul Hashem. That's real gvura. Right, being a coward of caving into society's desires is that's called being a coward, right? We say Pirkei Avos, right? Ezehu Gibor Hakovish Es Yitzro, a person who can control his Yitzhahara, a person that can focus on using his yira towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person is afraid, okay, if a person is supposed to yira shamayim, that's the key. If a person genuinely fears God, he's doing the right thing. But in terms of fearing others, if in terms of fear God's okay, a person can fear others, but when we're talking about trying to uphold the Torah, you shouldn't be afraid that other people are going to harm you for trying to uphold the Torah. Why? Because again, like we said, being afraid to uphold the Torah could potentially tachil Hashem, and that we need to prevent. And again, in terms of preventing tachil Hashem, the amount at which a person is supposed to go, the limitations are there really no limits in terms of to uphold the Torah and prevent chilul Hashem. So Adkar idea number two. Idea number three, and with this we'll finish, is also in Perek Aleph, but also let's go back. Perek Aleph Pasuk Hey. Pasuk says Be'ever Ayardein Be'eretz Moav Hoil Moshe Be'eres HaTorah Azos Lemor. Right? The Pasuk says we're on the other side of the Yardein. Is the land of Moab. Moshe began explaining this Torah set. So one can obviously ask, what exactly is Pshat in Be'er Es HaTorah HaZos? This Torah? What Torahs are we speaking about? So just some Pshatim on a Pasha Pshat level. First Pshat, something that I saw I quoted in the Mizrahi. The Mizrahi says it's referring to the Aseres HaDibros that we're going to be hearing next week in Parshas Veschanan. Right, the Aseres HaDibros appeared twice in the Torah. Right, the Luchos HaRishonim that was in Parshas Yisro, and the second time it appears is next week Shabbos Nachamu in Parshas Veschanan. That we said is one pshat. Another pshat is brought down by Rashi. Rashi on the spot says as follows. Rashi says Be'eres HaTorah B'shivim Lashon Pirsha Lahem. It was explained in 70 different languages. What exactly is pshat? The pshat is that Moshe explained this Torah, meaning this specific Torah, in many, many different languages. So why did he do that? I mean, do other people know? I mean, why do we need to learn other languages? So the Sfas Emes deepens on this. Sfas Emes, right? We know the second Ger Rebbe says as follows. That this was to symbolize that what? That wherever a Yidden would be in the future one day, again, throughout all of history, not only just in the recent centuries of the period of the Achronim, throughout again the Rishonim, the Geonim, the Tanaim, Amram, Jews were located all over the world speaking different languages. It's supposed to symbolize the future, that what? That there's going to be Torah. This Torah is going to be located all over the world, and this Torah is going to be under. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what language you speak. Everyone's going to be able to understand Torah, and therefore the Sfas Emes is saying that that's exactly what Rashi was meaning. But when Rashi said it was explained in so many different languages, because the Pshat is it was a hint. It was a symbol. It was symbolic for how Limud HaTorah was going to be in the future, that it was going to be spread throughout the world, not just in Eretz Yisrael, not just in Lashon HaKodesh. because certain people, it's not so simple for certain people to learn if they're not fluent in Lashon HaKodesh. So rather, what the Yesod is that we see that Torah here is has been expanded, right? I'll let you go. Allow me to note that Lemaisa, no matter where you are listening to this in the world, whether you're in Eretz Yisrael, North America, England, Europe, anywhere, you realize that wherever you're living, you know, there is Torah that's going on. There is Torah that's being learned. There are shiur, there are lomdei Torah that are learning in many different languages throughout the world. There are shiurim in all different areas of Torah that are being given in many, many different languages. Right, you hear about all these programs. You hear about like Dirshu, people that take tests on Tafyomi. There's different levels of the tests depending how often you take the tests. Is it Gemara and Halacha, cumulative, not cumulative, every month, every three, every four months. But the pshat is it's all over the world. You hear about people taking tests in North America, South America, Europe, Asia, Australia. It doesn't stop. You'll see certain yeshivas are just full of so many different people that come over from so many different places. I have a lot of friends that they learn yeshivas Mir, right? The Mir yeshiva, the biggest yeshiva in the world, is located in Yerushalayim Mir HaKodesh in the Beis Yisrael neighborhood. It attracts Talmidim from all over the world, and then there are chaburas and shiurim and chavrusas that are going on in so many different languages. A friend learned there. He once commented to me that the Mir is almost there's a certain nickname. He once referred to me as the Mir Shiva as the United Nations of Abayi V'Rava, because a lot of times people in the Mir, if they're learning a certain Masech, a lot of people, you have hundreds and thousands of people that will be learning the same daf, or the same sugya, the same day, discussing having, let's say, a machlokas between Abayi and Rava. But the pshat is the conversations that are going on throughout the Batei Midrashim in that yeshiva, the conversations are in so many different languages. Right, I know this chavrusis, chabura, shiurim, in you know, for sure Hebrew, English, Yiddish, Spanish, French, and I'm sure, and I think there's even other languages. But that's the yisod. That this whole yisod is actually stems back from this Rashi that explains Beres HaTorah Zos. Moshe explained this language. Moshe explained this Torah in many different languages. Why? Because he knew in the future Jews were going to be all over. And again, the only way in terms of for this world to continue to exist is through Limud HaTorah. And again, in order to be able to continue and progress in Limud HaTorah, you have to be familiar with the languages, and that exactly is the pshat that Moshe Rabbeinu expanded the Torah to others. So these were three ideas in which we wanted to speak about today, expanding in different areas. Right, the first idea we spoke about how the Jews expanded from Bnei Yisrael to Klal Yisrael as a whole, and the Chizik and Arvus and Avos Chinam. Then we spoke about the justice system, how we the expansion of the justice system by appointing judges, and sometimes a person is supposed to expand himself, go beyond his own limits to prevent Chil Hashem and to uphold the Torah and to uphold the Derech of Hashem. And we also, and the last thing we spoke about was again the Koach HaTorah that according to Rashi Pshat, we said the Be'er HaTorah Zos was the beginning of expanding the Torah world by giving it over in many, many different languages. Yashar Koach, everyone. Chodesh Tov, and have a wonderful day.